Brother Chelle, your father preached from this pulpit many, many times. I looked upon him as a true contender for the faith. I fought many battles with him in the fundamentalist cause. And he defended me and I defended him. And he was a man of God, a man of prayer, and a man of power. And I count it a great honor that I can welcome his son to this pulpit. And I'm going to say to you, brother, give it to them the way your father gave it to the people as he preached. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Paisley, for inviting me to come and share the word of God with you here. My wife and children, we have thoroughly enjoyed the fellowship here and been blessed by the people of Ireland, Northern Ireland here. And we thank God for the opportunities given to us to come to this here and share the word of God. If you have your Bibles today, I want to turn the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, and I'm going to talk about, do I really care? Do I care? And we'll look at this passage. I got 30 minutes to finish. That's what Dr. Paisley told me. And I, being a physician, you know how long you have to wait in a physician's office. And so I don't want to keep you all too long. But I will try to finish the subject in 30 minutes. I want to read the first few verses of this chapter and to see how Nehemiah was a man who was a layman, but he was willing to care for his people. And I remember in the late 1940s or in the late 1940s, early 50s, there was a man who was a missionary in my father's hometown of Hubli who cared for my grandfather. And he would go every day and visit him. My grandfather was an illiterate man, but worked for the Indian Railways. He was a Hindu and not a non-converted man. But this missionary took time every day to go visit my grandfather. After many long years, my grandfather decided to leave Hinduism and then go and became a Christian, but they were never saved. They attended the Lutheran church till they all came out. They got saved. But I want to thank God for this one missionary who cared for a man, Lazarus Chelle. He cared deeply. And because of that man's care, I'm the second generation Christian able to stand before you. My friends, do we care? Do we have time to care for people? I know we live in a busy society and there are many demanding things and there are many things that press on us. But can we take some time for the lost? Can we take time for those who are hurting? For those who are going through some pain, for those who are going through some sorrow, can we take some time and show that we care? And we'll look at the life of Nehemiah. There in the book of Nehemiah, we see the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Here we'll notice Nehemiah. We don't know much about his childhood. We don't know much about his family background. All we know that maybe his grandparents had come to Babylon. And I was taken into captivity. But now we see Nehemiah, a lay person, has risen in position. And now he's the king's cupbearer. But there one day he was walking, and there he heard some of his brethren talking. And then he says, I heard them talking. He said, one of my brethren came, and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He was concerned. He was worried about his people. He said, even though he was a busy man, even though he had a lot of things on his mind, he heard his brethren talk, and they were talking about the troubles that some of them were going. And it got Nehemiah's attention. And there we can see Nehemiah's life and character. What kind of a man he was. What kind of a person he was. He was a man who cared. It was George Bernard Shaw who stated this. The worst sin toward our fellow men is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. When Nehemiah heard about these people, he could have been indifferent. He could have just said, I'm too busy. I have a lot on my mind. But he said no. He took time. My friends, that's what we need today in our churches, in our homes, in our community, where people will take some time to hear the pain of some people that people are going through. As I'm in my country in Bangalore, as I open the papers every morning, as I read some of the stories there, I see how many young people committing suicide. I see how many mothers and fathers killing their children and then themselves committing suicide. Why? Because they're going through some difficulty. They're going through some pain, but there's no one to care to hear their pain. And we see this time and time and time again. When I was going through some difficult time in Bangalore, when we faced some persecution, and I had the charges pressed against me, I met a lawyer. One of my Christian friends introduced me to a lawyer. And this young lady was a Hindu convert, and she practices criminal law, and I had to see her because I had criminal charges placed against me. And as I was talking to her, she said, after all the things that went, after a few months, she talked to me and she said, you have a Bible college. I said, yes. Could we come and study? And then in the close of our conversation, she said, I deal with a lot of women who are hurting, who are going through some difficulties, who are on the verge of committing suicide, and I don't know how to help them. I don't know much about the Word of God. Could somebody show me something through Scripture where I can counsel these women and give them hope and that they can trust in Christ? And that lawyer and her husband have enrolled in the Bible college. They come on Saturdays and one of our faculty teaches them. For the last year they've been coming faithfully because they care. She cares about the people she meets. She cares for those women who are wanting to commit suicide, who wants to forsake their families because of the pain and the suffering they go through. Do we care? There's a world that is hurting, friends. There's a world that is in pain. They need the Savior. And it's our responsibility to take it to them. We should not be indifferent. And Nehemiah was willing to listen to the suffering of his people. He was willing to listen to the past traditions. He was willing to listen to the needs of the present day for of his day. He also cared for his city, Jerusalem. He was concerned. And there are four things I want you to notice about Nehemiah's concern. Number one, I want you to know Nehemiah cared enough to ask about his people. We see that here. He said, I want to know what's going on. He said, what happened to the people? I asked them concerning the Jews. His concern was about his people. Even though he was a king's cupbearer, even though he was a busy man who had to taste the king's food, who was busy every day. But he took time. Why did he take time? Because he had a caring heart. Even with that position, he could have said to his friends and all Hananiah, his brethren, he said, man, I know what you're going through. I know the difficulties you're facing now. But see, I have this position. It's very difficult for me to get off. It's very difficult for me to take time off from the king. He could have said that. He said, no. I want to know. I care about my people. I care about my city. I care about my country. I care about the welfare of all the people there. What can I do? That was his attitude. He really cared for his people. It was just not a talk. And many times I've heard people talk, oh, I care about you. Yeah, we are very concerned. But they don't do anything to help. They don't give out a helping hand. They don't sacrifice their time or their talents in any way to help. It's only a lip service. But Nehemiah was not that kind of a person. He cared about his people. He wanted to know about their welfare. Yes, Nehemiah wanted to know the facts of his people, no matter how painful those facts may be. Yes, sometimes people do not want to know the facts, because when they know the facts and the information that comes or they receive might bring an obligation with it. And they try to ignore it. My friends, we cannot ignore what is happening around us, what's happening around in the world today. We cannot ignore it. We need to meet that need. Look at the world today. Look at the homes that are broken. Look at the young people's lives that are being ruined. Do we care? Do we care? You know? Nehemiah cared for his people. I was reading a quote and the quote read like this, like large doors, great life-changing events can swing on very small hinges. If we care, things can change. If you are willing to volunteer like Nehemiah did, great changes can take place. But are we willing? Are we willing to move out from our comfort zone where we feel comfortable? Are we willing to go and serve? Nehemiah was willing to do that. You see how many lives in the Bible, we have great examples where men whose lives were changed because they were willing to the call. Look at the disciples. They were mending their nets. Peter, James, Andrew, and John. The Lord looks at them. He says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Look at their lives. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And look what an impact these men had in their ministries. A little boy, David, was taking care of his father's flocks. And Samuel comes to anoint the king. And he says, who is there? And David's father sends for David. He comes. And look, he gets anointed the same day. And look, what a difference. David's life changed in one moment. My friends, if you are willing, we can make a difference. We can make a change if we are willing, friends. We never know what God has in store, even in a small conversation with people or friends or relatives. We need to always keep our hearts open to God's providential leading. You know, many times I've heard people talk, I've seen people's pain. I met a young man who came into my office one day, and there he was. He was from California, and he was come to see me to go. He was going somewhere to Iraq on a mission. And as I began to talk to this young man, I saw the pain he had. He was afraid. He was fearful. He did not know. He did not want to go. He says, "But I have to go." In the course of our conversation, he shared his fears with me. And I began to talk to him about the word of about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Doc, you don't understand my life." He says, "You don't understand who I am. I was a big gang banger in California. I was a member of a gang." I said, "I understand that. I deal with people that way." And as we continued to talk, this young man shared with me his pain. And then I showed him from the Romans Road and how he could get saved. And this man could not pray in English. He said, "I'll pray." I told him, I'll lead you in prayer. In English, you can pray in Spanish. And this young man trusted the Lord in that office room. My friends, there are many who are hurting. Many who have fear. Many who have pain. Many young people who come from broken homes. They're going through a lot of pain. 70, I think in America they say 75% of the marriages end up in divorce. Even Christian marriages, stay alarming rates. I think over 50 or 60% now end up in divorce, and kids are hurting. Do we care? The next thing I want you to notice about Nehemiah was he cared enough to shed some tears. He cared enough to shed some tears for his people. You know, in counseling, I read this statement. It says, "What makes people laugh or weep is often the indication of character." And then the paragraph went on to read, it says, "People who laugh at others' mistakes or misfortunes, or who weep over trivial disappointments, are lacking in culture and character." And that's so true. You know, what makes people laugh or weep is often the indication of their character. And in my culture, if men weep, we think they're weak. But here you notice, my friends, Nehemiah weeping is not a weakness, but that was his strength. He was pouring out his heart to God. Nehemiah's case, it was his strength. He was weeping for his nation. He was weeping for his people. When was the last time we wept over a lost person in our family? When was the last time we wept over a lost friend? Yes, my friend, there are many people that we need to weep over. I thank God for my father. You know, he was a man of prayer, and many of you have heard him preach from this pulpit. He cared enough. He prayed and he wept. He prayed for many years for my wife's father. We shared that he was unsaved, and many times he had witnessed to him. But in the year 2004, my father-in-law, Sarah's dad, had cancer. He had two cancers. He had lung cancer, which he had operations, and God took care of that. He got better. whether as surgery, but later on he developed renal cancer. He was in the hospital after surgery. He came, he developed complications, and things went downhill from there. And then my father also, who was there in the United States at that time, he was in the hospital with congestive heart failure. And he had had an eye surgery, and he had a lot of difficulties. But in the month of December, where he'd called me and he said, your father-in-law is not doing well. You need to come home with your wife and the children. He wants to see them. But my father, even though when he was that sick, because he knew that my father-in-law was lost, he said, I want to go see Mr. Headley. I want to go see him at least once. And one evening, he took time. Even though he was sick and weak and weary, he asked my brother to drive him to their home. And there he went and he met Mr. Headley in the room. And he shared the gospel with him one more time. And at age of 82, Sarah's father trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why? One man was shedding tears for a lost person. Yes, our family shed tears for him. My friends, when was the last time you shed some tears on somebody who's lost? Yes, when God places a burden on our hearts, let's not escape it or ignore it. Let's continue to pray. Pray for that burden. It's so easy to give up. It's so easy, well, they may never get saved. Or it will never change. It will never happen. It's easy for us. But let's not give up. Let's continue to pray and to shed tears over our loved ones, over the lost, over those who are hurting and going through some difficulties. Warren Wiersbe stated this, our tears water the seeds of providence that God has planted on our path, and with our tears, those seeds could never grow and produce fruit. How true that is. My friends, let us shed some tears for the lost. Let us sit down like Nehemiah did. When he heard about it, he sat and he wept and he mourned. Sometimes that's all we need to do. Take some time from our busy schedule. Nehemiah was very busy, but he said, I want to take some time. Sat alone, mourned, and he prayed. That's what Nehemiah did. The next thing I want you to notice, he cared enough to shed tears, but also Nehemiah cared enough to pray for his people. You notice the book of Nehemiah opens with prayer and then closes with prayer. Nehemiah was a man of faith. He depended wholly on prayer. He depended wholly upon God. And he depended upon God to help him accomplish his work. He could not do it on his own. He could not get away from his position on his own. He was concerned how God will allow that to happen. So he went to prayer. And he was praying to God. Someone has stated there is too much working before men and too little watching and waiting upon God. You know, many a times we do that. We work first and then we pray. We plan out everything and then we ask God to bless. That's not the way, my friends. We pray first, seek the will of God, and surrender to the will of God, and God will work everything out for us. He will prepare the way. You see, that was in Nehemiah's life. God prepared the way for him. Even though he was under great stress. How will I get out? How can I go? I have a great burden on my heart. I want to go and help my people. But I'm the king's cupbearer. How can I leave? He said, I'll take it to the Lord in prayer. He sought God's power. He sought God's great goodness. He sought God's mercy before he went to the king. He was a man of prayer. I mean, that's what we ought to be doing when we begin our lives, our ministries, to humble or to pray. He humbled himself before God. And because of his prayer life, you see, he had great confidence in what he was going to do. His confidence grew. He was able to see the people's needs. He was able to see how God hears his prayers. He was able to see how God works on his behalf with a mighty hand. He knew God worked on his people's behalf. He knew how God delivered his people. He knew how God fought for his people. When they cried out to him and they went in prayer, he said, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray." And I hope you'll be those individuals who take time to pray for the needy, to pray for those who are hurting, those who are going through a difficult time, those who are going through a lot of pain. I hope you'll take some time to pray. And as he begins to pray, you see, Nehemiah's vision gets clearer. Nehemiah's purpose is clearer. He does it. God wants him to go and rebuild those broken walls. It was not somebody else. Nehemiah knew, it is I. It's me that I have to go. It's not someone else. I'm ready to volunteer. He knew his calling. My friends, when we wait upon God, God will make it clear for us. He'll make it clear what we ought to be doing as we wait upon him. He prayed. And lastly, fourthly, I want you to notice Nehemiah cared enough to volunteer. He cared enough to volunteer to go and rebuild those broken walls, to rebuild those burnt gates. It was Robert Law who stated, "Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth." My friends, how is God's will going to be accomplished on this earth? How can he do that? How can his will be accomplished upon this earth? He needs volunteers. Amen. If God wants his will to be done upon this earth, then he needs volunteers. He had Nehemiah, but God is looking for people who are available to fulfill his will on this earth. God is looking for someone to volunteer. Nehemiah, as he prayed, as the burden grew, and as he had the vision, he was the one to go rebuild the walls. You know, I always, I'm blessed when I hear about those people in the Andaman Islands. Y'all helped those people build that community center. But you see, my friends, these women, there, those elderly ladies spent almost 20 years in prayer. Spent 20 years in prayer. And God laid a burden on Reverend McElwain's heart that he wants to go to Andaman Islands. We did not know for what. We did not know for what reason. He said Andaman Islands was affected by the tsunami. Could we go and see? And when we went there with prayer, he prayed about it and he had a burden for it. I prayed and I talked to the pastor, the Diamond Joseph. He said, I'll arrange everything. You come. And we went. And we knew there is a people of God who needed help. Yes, one man from Northern Ireland was willing to go to Andaman Islands. He volunteered. And today, through your prayers and through your gifts, the people of the Karen community has a community center and a church where they can worship. My friends, will you volunteer? Are you available to do the Lord's bidding? Nehemiah made himself available to go. He did not give any excuses. He did not ask God to send someone else. But he said, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Nehemiah knew it was a difficult task, but he had faith that God will take care of him. God not only opened the way, but he provided for Nehemiah. He provided protection as well as the finances. My friends, when we are willing, God will do his part. If we volunteer, God will make the way straight. God will open up the doors that we think are impossible to open. God will open the doors. Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing to volunteer? Yes, my friends, there's a world out there that is hurting. There's a world that is lost. There are many people going to a Christless eternity. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Are we moved today with compassion as we see a world that is going to a Christless eternity? As we see a world that is in pain and sorrow and suffering, will you volunteer? Will you be available to serve the Lord?